Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. Today I'm going to be talking about imposter syndrome, feeling like a fake or a fraud. I'm sure we can all think of a few situations in life where we've doubted our own abilities, questioned whether we're suitable to do something, or felt undeserving of something. This is totally normal to have passing, fleeing thoughts about ourselves on occasion. However, for some it goes a lot deeper. There are situations that bring out feelings of being a fake or a fraud to the point where the person is in a constant state of anxiety because they fear that they may be caught out for being an imposter or feeling like they have to constantly reach a certain high standard in the eyes of others. Sometimes their parents, sometimes their romantic partner, sometimes their peers. So they continue to perceive them as a great person. They will do everything to keep up this persona. And even though they are successful, they won't feel it. Often there is the ideal that they have to be perfect. And anything they do that is not perfect, they feel, I'm a fake, I'm going to lose it all. The standard imposter syndrome definition is the experience of feeling like a phony. You feel as though at any moment you're going to be found out as a fraud, like you don't belong where you are, and you only got there through dumb luck. It can affect anyone, no matter their social status, work background, skill level, or degree of expertise. And that was by Koenig, 2021. So over the years, I've worked with many people who have come to me feeling like a fake and being like, I just want to get rid of this anxiety, Nicola. I want to feel good in myself. I want to stop worrying. I want to stop playing worst case scenario. I want to be happy and enjoy what I've created rather than not being able to stop working because I'm scared I'm going to lose it all. This was true for Adam, who was a 38-year-old married man with two children. He started a business and from the day one, things weren't going that great because he spent more money setting up the business than he had initially set out to. And this meant that he essentially started off in quite a lot of debt. Nonetheless, he opened the business and on the outside, it seemed everything was going well. He had people all around the world praising him for his ability to start his business from scratch. And he became the envy of a lot of people around him. He had this reputation of being this young, successful businessman, living his best life in an expat country. Soon enough, he realized that there was more going out every month than they were earning. And he tried to ignore it for many months, but it would eat away at him. And 2 years later, beginning of the COVID, Adam had no option to close. However, instead of telling his friends and his family that his business didn't succeed, he decided to say that he's moving his location so they would continue to think that he is a successful businessman. Inside, he was torturing himself. He thought he had got the respect and praise from others by pure luck and didn't want to disappoint anyone, and was hugely disappointed in himself. When in reality, of course, many people were closing down businesses due to COVID. Many people closed down businesses and refresh, regather their thoughts and start again. He couldn't see this. All he could do was focus on his inability to run the business, his inability to manage the finances, and he felt terrible for letting some of his staff go. He felt like a phony, and he would consistently remind himself that he didn't deserve to be happy and that he didn't deserve any respect or support or kindness. And these self-sabotaging thoughts plagued him. They would wake him up in the night. They would have him on edge. He turned to drinking to try and drown out the thoughts. And this only led to the anxiety worsening. Once the COVID restrictions had eased up, Adam was able to plan a reopening of his business. And even though he felt like he was starting over, he wasn't in so many ways. He had already learned so many business lessons. He already had some money behind him to open up, and many other people couldn't afford to. He couldn't see any of these positives about himself, and he definitely didn't allow himself to enjoy any of his accomplishments in restarting the business. He was constantly anxious about failing, and he spent an unhealthy amount of time focusing on what he could do to make the business a success. He was always working. He always felt that he wasn't doing enough. He always wanted to continue working. He was always comparing himself to others. He worked around the clock, unable to stop for fear of losing everything he was newly creating. This impacted his marriage because he spent most of his time and efforts improving himself as a businessman, that he couldn't internalize the fact that he was successful. So this meant that even when he was home, he wasn't really there. He was always in his head, worrying, thinking, strategizing. Rather than spending quality time with his wife and his family, he was either at home but not really engaging with them, or on his phone, or he was in the office. He was really scared as well that his wife and children would find out that he was not good enough and look down on him, be disappointed in him. So he felt that he had to keep up the pretense of everything was perfect. He also didn't want to burden his wife or his children. So in a way, it became true. He was being fake. And I pointed out to him, probably that's why he did think he was fake, because he felt he had to be fake and not be honest with the people that he loved. His family were really supportive when we worked together, and then he had the courage to say that's how he used to think, and we worked on clearing these thoughts for him at the subconscious level. It was all scenarios he was making up in his head, so all we needed to do was change those scenarios in his mind, and it all disappeared. Adam's case is a classic case of imposter syndrome. It's that constant internal battle, making excuses for why you're not good enough and putting yourself down constantly, or scaring yourself by telling yourself that you could lose everything at any moment and that it's all down to luck. It can be really hard for people with imposter syndrome to be open about what they feel, because part of it is worrying about what others think. If they judge others, they may worry that they're going to be judged. Or in the past, if they've been judged or treated harshly or critically, they will fear that others will do the same. And it will bring unwanted attention to their side of themselves that they want to hide. Sometimes, sadly, it can be reinforced by others who do judge and may throw comments like, "You've had a lucky break, don't be too complacent," or "Be careful, you're in a risky industry, you could lose your job or you could lose your business." The difference is, though, if someone says that to a person that doesn't have imposter syndrome, that feels good and confident in themselves and their abilities, they will laugh it off. They will say, "Haha, who cares what you think," to themselves inside their mind, or just smile. But when something sticks, it's a sign that you believe that, because someone can't really hurt your feelings unless you allow them to. And often our feelings get hurt because we hold that in ourselves. So today I want to share the typical characteristics of imposter syndrome and how this can impact relationships. And at the end, I will share my tips on how to release these tense feelings. A person who experiences imposter syndrome will relate to some of what I'm going to share. It doesn't have to be all of them. So one is feeling like you're not good enough, lack of self-confidence. No matter how successful a person is, imposter syndrome will make a person feel like they got their success by luck and they are not truly deserving of them, making them feel like they are not actually good enough to reap the awards or to call themselves successful. The second is fear of being judged, not living up to expectations. Often people with imposter syndrome will find themselves constantly people-pleasing and outdoing their own work so that they don't get judged, as they feel like frauds and they don't want to be found not meeting expectations or judged for not being capable. I always notice a pattern between being judged and criticised early on in life to having imposter syndrome. It can somehow built in to someone's mind that they will be judged, that they will be criticised, that they have to do things the right way, whatever that right way is, because of course it's no right way. Of course it's good to be ethical and honest, but there are plenty of ways to be successful. And then there is negative self-talk. Regardless of great comments that they receive from others, regardless of evidence that their bank statements are high, they will talk down to themselves. They will not allow themselves to be proud of their own work. They will always think, you could have done better. You don't quite look the part. You don't deserve this. You could lose it all, so keep going. You're not really that good. You've just had a lucky break. These are the kinds of comments that go around in their head when they think that they are not good enough. And then comparison with others. Those with the syndrome, they will see the good in others and not see the good in themselves. They will see how others are doing great and not look at themselves in the same way. And let's face it, comparing yourself with others is completely pointless. There's always going to be people that have more than you. There's always going to be people that have less than you. And both, it's not important. It's not helpful. It's your life. You're very unique. You're very special. Enjoy it. And then anxiety. All of the characteristics above can result in severe anxiety that I've talked about. Constant, obsessive and intrusive thoughts can lead to being on edge all the time. It can lead to lack of sleep, lack of appetite, overeating. I do a lot of work with people who are emotional eating or binge drinking or just creating any habits to kind of escape, which can then make the anxiety worse. Anxiety, of course, can lead to panic attacks, heart palpitations, excessive sweating, dizziness, and more. So it can be really hard to maintain a healthy romantic relationship, even a good relationship with other family members or friends. And if you're married to someone that has this, it can be really difficult to get them to see the positives in themselves, get them to accept compliments, get them to lighten up and laugh and enjoy life, get them to relax and take life a bit easier. The feelings of inadequacy can also spread to other parts of the relationship. For example, not feeling attractive enough to be naked around your husband or wife. Not allowing yourself to be intimate with your husband or wife because you fear being judged on your performance in bed or how you look. It's also common for people to be consumed with negative thoughts so much that it affects their sex drive and it lowers their libido. And they may become so uninterested in home life because they're just so consumed with these thoughts. And they may wake up in the night with ideas and plans for their business or their career, and it's non-stop for them. Feelings of being an imposter or fraud can be so difficult to address because it's a mentally draining experience. It's hard to turn your brain off when your thoughts are just going round and round and round out of fear and insecurity. Thankfully, there are a few things you can do and incorporate into your daily life. If this is resonating with you, I'm going to share what they are. And hopefully this can help you. So the first thing you can do is share your feelings with someone that you trust. Now, that is difficult for people that do have imposter syndrome. However, if you choose someone that you trust, that's a good listener, that is humble, then it can really help sometimes to lessen the thoughts, because they can remind you of all your successes. They can laugh with you and they can maybe share, I have these thoughts. And it can be like a nice way to offload and get like a hug or whatever you need. Being honest can also be really liberating. And also it's so powerful to get the thoughts out of your head by sharing them, because it gives them less power. When they go round and round and round in your head and you've not told anyone, they get bigger and louder and bigger and louder. And that's where sometimes people feel like they're going to explode. And then they go, right, I need to take some medication, I need to drink some alcohol, I need to eat loads of food, I need to numb this. Journaling can be really good for some people. Writing down your thoughts, getting again those thoughts out of your head, taking away their power, and then turning them into positive. Saying, no, that's not true. I have done well. No, look at what I've achieved. One of the things I really love to do on my birthday is write down all the amazing things that I've done and experienced and achieved in that year of that age. And it's a really lovely ritual. And it just reminds me, wow, I've done a lot this year, Nicola. Well done. You know, it's really nice. Sometimes we do have to be our own champion. And this can be really helpful if you have this imposter syndrome. So before I go any further, actually, because I've been wanting to say this from the moment we started, I don't believe that you've got a problem that's going to be with you forever. And the idea that it's called imposter syndrome, it's kind of like, oh yeah, this is a problem that, you know, like all these other psychological labels, you just have to deal with, that's you. It's like, no, it's not you. It's just the way that you are thinking, and the way that you are thinking can be changed. So another thing you can do is you can speak to a coach or a hypnotherapist that can help you make those changes, ideally someone that does both, so that they can coach you into new ways of thinking, and then they can do some subconscious work with you to change your thought patterns, and then you'll feel free, alive, supported, and you can go for your goals, you can reach all of your dreams without negative motivation, without fear motivation. And instead, you can have positive motivation, thinking of all the benefits being successful will bring to you, rather than all of the awful things that will happen if you're not successful. And when you change the driver from negative to positive, this is where people really excel in their life and they really enjoy the process. It's not a hardship, it's not a struggle, it's not a challenge, because they're being kind to themselves, they're being their own inner champion. And then another thing you can do is you can practice mindfulness. And this is where you can get into the present moment. Children are amazing at living mindfully. They're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen even later that day. They just want to play in that moment. They want to eat that ice cream in that moment or whatever it is. And so just do something and really get into whatever activity it is. Don't have your phone there. Just if you're eating, just enjoy eating. If you're walking, just enjoy walking. If you are watching a TV show, just watch the TV show. Phone away. Just do something that enables you to be in the moment. If you're having a conversation with someone, focus in on them. Look at them in the eye. Hold their hand. Connect. So if you can resonate with any of the characteristics that I mentioned with this imposter syndrome, although let's just say thoughts that are not supporting you and that you would like to change, then do reach out to me. I do coaching for this, hypnotherapy for this, and of course I have my intensive breakthrough session, which is a 3-day process, and we do a deep dive into changing all thoughts, releasing negative emotions from the past, and creating the new you, reinstalling new habits, new ways of being, so that you can leap forward in your life in a positive way. So if you'd like to find out about that, you can go to my website, nicolabeer.com. You can read the Google reviews where people have said I've done a breakthrough. And you can also book a 20-minute introduction call with me if you'd like some one-to-one support. If you would like some audio programs and you're like, I'm not quite ready to work with you, Nicola, then there's audio programs there on self-confidence, on meditations, mindfulness, on relationships. So feel free to enjoy them. Also one on emotional eating. So you can have a look there on the shop page. And there's also a gift page on my website which has the free meditations listed under it. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Wishing you an amazing week ahead. And if you have enjoyed anything about any one of my episodes and you do have a few minutes to leave a rating or review on the podcast app that you're listening to, that would be amazingly appreciated. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.